Greetings, listeners. My name's Andrew, and with me is Nick Dean. In this podcast from IPAN, the Independent and Peaceful Australia Network, we recall the Governor-General's dismissal 50 years ago at 11 a.m. on November 11, 1975, of the democratically elected ALP government of Gough Whitlam following a destabilisation campaign engineered by the United States Central Intelligence Agency. We examine the background to this watershed event and suggest that it may at least partially explain the Albanese ALP government's abject subservience to US foreign policy and its wholehearted embrace of the AUKUS War Pact. We suggest that the ALP leadership is very mindful of the treatment the US dished out to the Whitlam government in 1975 and now toes the US line in the hope of avoiding a similar fate.
Yes, indeed. They are slavishly following the US line, including wholesale implementation of the US Force Posture Agreement, the FPA. Now, the FPA enables the US military build-up in Australia, with the consequent loss of our sovereignty in military matters and the integration of our ADF with the US military. And all of this in preparation for a US-led war against China.
The AUKUS Security Pact was initiated secretly by the Morrison coalition government and imposed on the Australian people in an authoritarian manner without any public or parliamentary discussion or agreement. Nick, how much support does AUKUS have in the Australian community?
There's a rising tide of community questioning and opposition to it, involving trade unionists, academics, ALP branches, and the Greens and crossbench MPs, former Prime Ministers Keating and Turnbull, former Foreign Ministers Carr and Evans, and peace organisations such as IPAN, which is calling for the cancellation of AUKUS and the FPA. The most recent national opinion poll in 2025 found community support for AUKUS had dropped to 18%. That's the lowest it's been since it was first announced.
Yet despite declining support for AUKUS, Prime Minister Albanese has not only declared that this war pact will go ahead, but has recommitted to it by signing a 50-year agreement with the UK for the design and assistance in manufacture of SSN nuclear-powered submarines. One may ask why he has done this in the face of community opposition.
The answer may perhaps be found in the events leading up to the 1975 dismissal of the Whitlam ALP government. Far from being a conspiracy theory, there's a lot of evidence indicating this was indeed a US-engineered coup.
Quite right. It cannot be doubted that the United States did indeed interfere in Australian domestic politics. It is recorded in Hansard that Gough Whitlam made a statement to Parliament in 1977 in which he said, and I quote, "I never met President Carter, but I had a significant meeting with his Assistant Secretary of State for Asia and South Pacific, Warren Christopher. On Wednesday, the 27th of July, 1977, at 8 a.m, Alston had arranged a breakfast meeting in the Qantas VIP room at Sydney Airport. Those present were Alston, Christopher, his aide, my aide Richard Butler, and I." Whitlam said of Warren Christopher that he, and I quote, "He made it clear to us that he had made a special detour in his itinerary for the purpose of speaking to me. The President had asked him to say that he understood the Democratic Party and the ALP were fraternal parties, that he respected deeply the democratic rights of allies of the US. I ask the Honourable Members of Parliament to note what he says next. that the US administration would never again, I repeat those words, would never again interfere in the domestic political processes in Australia, and that he would work with whatever government the people of Australia elected. Mr. Deputy Speaker interrupts and says, "Order, the Honourable Member's time has expired." And that's the end of the Hansard quote.
The US interference and destabilisation of the ALP government began after Whitlam demanded to know if and why the CIA was running a spy base at Pine Gap near Alice Springs. Pine Gap's an electronic eavesdropping installation, which, as Edward Snowden revealed in 2013, allows the US to spy on everyone. Snowden also revealed that in the minutes of a meeting with the US ambassador, Mr. Whitlam said, and I quote, "Try and screw us or bounce us, and Pine Gap will become a matter of contention."
Victor Marchetti, the CIA officer who helped set up Pine Gap, told the late journalist John Pilger that, and I quote, "The threat to close Pine Gap caused apoplexy in the White House, and a kind of Chilean coup was set in motion."
The late Joan Coxage wrote an article on the Nugent Hand Bank and the role of the CIA in the removal of the Whitlam government, in which she states that, and I quote, "There was, however, no statement of intent from Whitlam that his government intended to close Pine Gap. The Pine Gap Treaty was signed on December the 9th, 1966, for an initial 9 years, and either party could terminate the treaty thereafter by giving 1 year's notice. The critical date for continuing or giving notice was the 9th of December 1975. Whitlam had stated his government's policy on foreign military bases in Parliament on the 3rd of April 1974 and is recorded in Hansard as follows. "The Australian government takes the attitude that there should not be foreign military bases, stations or installations in Australia. We honour agreements covering existing stations. We do not favour the extension or prolongation of any of those existing ones." Now, this means that on the December the 9th, 1975, Whitlam would have been empowered to act on Pine Gap. But he didn't get the chance, as he was sacked just 1 month earlier.
Messages intercepted by Pine Gap were decoded by TRW, a CIA contractor. One of the decoders, Christopher Boyce, was later tried for espionage by the US for revealing that the CIA had infiltrated the Australian political and trade union elite, and that they referred to the Governor-General of Australia, Sir John Kerr, as "our man Kerr."
On November the 4th, 1975, the Australian Financial Review reported that a former CIA officer, Richard Stallings, had been channeling funds to Doug Anthony, the leader of the Country Party, now the National Party, which was in opposition to the Whitlam government.
Former CIA officer Victor Marchetti confirmed to journalist John Pilger that the CIA had indeed funded both opposition parties, and the Sydney Sun newspaper of May 4, 1977 reported that the Liberal Party had been receiving CIA funds since the late 1960s.
When Whitlam was re-elected for a second term in 1974, the White House sent Marshall Green to Canberra as US ambassador. Green, an imperious, sinister figure known as the coup master, had played a central role in the 1965 overthrow of Indonesian President Sukarno and the subsequent bloodbath which claimed a million or more lives. John Pilger reported that one of Green's first speeches in Australia to the Australian Institute of Directors was described by one alarmed member of the audience as an incitement to the country's business leaders to rise up against the government.
Furthermore, the Australian Financial Review of April 28, 1977 reported that on November 8, 1975, Kerr met a senior defence official and was briefed about the CIA's view that Whitlam was jeopardising the security of American bases in Australia. The Australian Financial Review also reported that on the same day, the CIA in Washington informed the ASIO station chief that all intelligence links with Australia would be cut unless a satisfactory explanation was given about Mr. Whitlam's behaviour.
On November the 10th, 1975, Whitlam was shown a top-secret message sent from ASIO's office in Washington and sourced to Theodore Shackley, the notorious head of the CIA's East Asia Division, who had helped run the 1973 Chilean coup, which overthrew the democratically elected government of Dr. Salvador Allende. Shackley's message was read to Whitlam. It said, "The Prime Minister of Australia was a security risk in his own country." The day before, Kerr had visited the headquarters of the Defence Signals Directorate, the Australian equivalent of the US National Security Agency, where he was briefed on this, quote, security crisis.
On November the 11th, the day Whitlam was to inform Parliament about the secret CIA presence in Australia, he was summoned by Kerr, who invoked the little-known reserve powers to sack the democratically elected Prime Minister and government. The Whitlam problem was solved. Australia lost its independence and the ALP was, it appears, permanently cowed into submission. The present ALP leadership seemingly wants to retain power at all costs, and their fear of being given another Whitlam whipping leads them to slavishly follow US foreign policy. Malcolm Fraser, who succeeded Whitlam, later became a trenchant critic of the US. He described the US as a dangerous ally and urged that the US-Australia military alliance be ended.
As a postscript, we should add that Whitlam made a prediction before he was sacked. Speaking at the Australian National University a mere 11 days before he was dismissed, he said, quote, "The question is whether any duly elected reformist government will be allowed to govern in the future. What is at stake is whether the people who seek change and reform are ever again to have confidence that it can be achieved through the normal parliamentary processes."
And that brings us to the end of this IPAN podcast. We ask our listeners to reflect on this 50th anniversary of the Whitlam government's dismissal and consider its continuing implications, lest we forget. Good day and thanks for listening.